Hey, beautiful humans. Welcome to Sex, Love, and Everything in Between.
You're here with Jacob and my wife, Meg.
And this is the place where we have all the very, very real, raw, and extremely unfiltered conversations about sex, love, and everything in between.
Oh, yeah. It's here you get a behind-the-scenes look into our relationship. And we will not be holding back, will we, my love?
No, we don't know how to do that.
Not at all.
So, beautiful ones, thank you for being here. Enjoy this episode.
Hey, lovers.
Hi, lovers.
Hey, lover.
Hi, my man.
How are you?
I am good.
You good?
I am good.
Have you had the greatest day ever?
I have had a...
You've had a day.
I've had a day. I feel great now. I was spiraling a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Spiraling, and I haven't felt that much doubt in a while. I was just really in a lot of doubt around my value and my work. And yeah, I'm just about to make a really big investment in, a really big investment in my business. And I think it was just bringing everything up to the surface around, my work. And I think that's what you will, that's my experience of whenever I've made big investments or I'm about to like really step into the next evolution of my work. It is almost a permission slip to see all the shit I need to see and meet and feel in order to experience that next thing that I'm ready to experience. So I had a day like that. Felt like, oh my God, what do I even do? Why am I even here? Do people even listen to me or like my stuff? And then I had just like the best fucking afternoon of coaching and really, really serving. And that is always for me whenever I'm experiencing any kind of doubt or any kind of doubt. For me, just like service is always the way back into remembering, just like serve. And I really, for anyone listening that has a business, if you're just like spiraling, like go and fucking serve, even if it's for free, like go and just get in the energetic of serving your people. And that just like gets you out of your own fucking way.
It reminds you why you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And brings you back to the actual core of your work, which is to, which is to give. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you.
You really helped me beautifully today.
Yeah, but I think it's anything, like when we're about to be initiated into the next level of responsibility, especially in our work, of course, all the stories that are conflicting with that level of capacity are going to come up. It's like you can't hold both of those in your body. Like you can't you can't like believe you're only worth a certain amount and then invest something beyond that. You have to actually like meet all of those things and then choose anyway. And that's why business can be such an initiator for leadership, like self-leadership, especially if you're on the entrepreneur journey and you're like, this is really the energetics behind like this kind of work that we do. It's like knowing that is the thing we need to do and realizing that we're going to have to face all of the uncomfortable things that are in its way. And all those things that you were saying aren't true, but they're the beliefs that can stop you from doing what the actual next step is in your business. And you could have easily gone and done 150 other different things today, but that was the one thing that was asking you to be present with it.
And I think I just want to speak into one other thing here, because I'm making a big investment in branding and web design for my for my business. And I only decided I wanted that like last week. And I was only really, once I decided that, I was like, yeah, maybe we'll spend X amount of dollars. I am now deciding to spend about three times that amount. And so it's an investment that doesn't really make sense. Like I could go and find someone that is three times less than what I'm about to pay. But this woman that I found just feels fucking true and fucking right. And what were you going to say?
There's a pattern here. This isn't the first time.
In me spending three times the amount I desire to
spend. This isn't the first time. This is not the first time.
Well, what are you getting at?
This is how you roll. Like this is your, this is you like reconciling that you like you like high quality.
I like high quality and I like things. Yeah. For me, what I was really getting at then was like this felt right. And I think, you know, I am not an advocate for going and just making, because I've seen women do this, just going and being like, oh, I just throw money at things and then that should make me money back. No, like there needs to be a level of consciousness in the way we're investing money if we're in business or anything. But sometimes we are going to be called to make an investment that doesn't really make logical sense.
Totally.
And I think in business, like you reminded me of this when I got off the call with this woman that's going to do my website. And I felt a bit like, oh God, fuck, am I going to do this? Like, and you were just like, of course you fucking are. Mm. Like, of course you fucking are. This is what we do. And I think there's an element, even I was watching a podcast with Casey
Neistat
on Diary of a CEO with, I think it's Stephen Bartlett. And they were talking about this as like, you know, successful CEOs and successful creators that like other people can look in at your journey as an entrepreneur and be like, that's fucking stupid. Mm. Or that's a dumb decision. Or that doesn't make sense. And yeah, successful entrepreneurs are the ones that are willing to take risks and the ones willing to do the things that don't really make sense. If you are looking for a life that makes sense, don't become an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Get a 9-to-5. Like, being in business is going to invite you to, yeah, go beyond logic and to trust yourself and to, yeah, take risks and fucking back yourself. And that takes such a nervous system capacity to be willing to be with the sensation of risk and to be with the sensation of, I have to trust myself here and I don't know the outcome, but I'm fucking going to back myself. And yeah, that there has to be an element of insanity, I think, with running a business and being an entrepreneur. I truly believe that.
Yeah, you have to be willing to hold that open loop, like to be okay with not having it all figured out, not having the path clear and set. And I liken it to seeing the mountaintop that you want to climb to, but there's this forest in front of it. You can just see the peak and you can see the mountaintop and you can see that you need to enter the forest, but you have no idea what's in that fucking forest.
Mm.
You have no idea what you're going to have to face, but you know that mountaintop is where you're going. And that's the, you know, for you, that's what that is, that that investment is there. Like if you weren't to choose that, you would be compromising on your felt truth. And that's the investment piece of that, and that has served us multiple times in our personal and business lives, and even in our relationship with how we threw down at our wedding, like with the investments we made in that, we didn't hold back. And there's not one part of me that has regretted the investments that we've made in all areas of our life.
Mm.
And just to give some context, because I'd like to bring story, we went rug shopping once. And Meg was looking online for rugs, and they're $400. $800, and she's looking and she could not find one she liked.
I think it was like 400 was like the max I was looking at.
And you just could not find one you liked, right?
And I was getting so frustrated because I'd been looking for hours and I was like, oh, I can't find one I like. This is really hard.
It was terrible. It was absolutely just, I really felt for you. But what happened then was we went for a drive to Burleigh to take a look at some rugs, didn't we?
Yeah. No, you asked me when I was getting frustrated on my laptop late at night. You were like, if you could have any fucking rug you desire, what would it be? And I was like, one of those Moroccan ones at the store in Burleigh. And you're like, well, let's go look at them. And I was like, but I don't want to spend that much money. And you're like, let's just go look at them.
And then what happened? We looked at them.
We looked at them and immediately I was like, I'm going to take that one. I spent like, it was probably $2,500.
It was $2,500.
And then I had the biggest month of my life in business.
Yes.
I call that like an activating investment.
Yes.
An investment that activates you into a new state of being that then supports you to create more in your life.
Uh-huh.
I also want to bring nuance into this because I see this in the coaching industry and I see a lot of women just, again, thinking that, oh, so I just spend money to make money.
Mm.
And no, that's not what this is. This is about if there is something authentically that is calling you, right?
Mm.
And you use discernment in this. This isn't about just throwing money around willy-nilly, but something that's authentically calling you.
Mm-hmm.
It can, by circulating money towards that thing, it can almost like shift your self-concept and activate you into a new state of being, which then can, you know, allow you to be a space for more money or allow you to feel like the woman that's able to create more money. And that was definitely the case for me. I think I had my first 20 grand month that month after I bought the rug because it just activated something in me.
Well, you like that to me is like you honoring your deep desire, like activated the depth of like receivership. Like, oh, when I honor my deep desires, I'm a space for more. Yeah, which was cool. And like, I want to bring in another story because I'm just going to put you on the spot if that's okay, my love.
Okay. You that? I love that this is not where the episode was going to go, but
we're going to get there.
I love that.
I feel like we're going to find a segue shortly.
Yeah.
When you went to buy your car.
Yeah, so true. This is a fucking pattern, isn't it?
It's a pattern.
Such a pattern.
It is such a pattern. So we started looking at the 25999 base model MG.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a nice car for you, my love. This has got everything that you need. It's like it's reliable. They're good little cars. Like this is, and the repayments are going to be so affordable. You'll be able to sort this all out. So this is your car. And then you, as you do, explore the rest of the MG website.
Well, did I? I think I'd already seen the electric one and I was like a little drawn to it. And then because it was during COVID, we had the woman come out to our house because we couldn't get across the border to the showroom or whatever it is. And so the woman came out to our house and at the time we lived in an eco village. So everything is, you know, kind of off the grid. We're
very eco-friendly.
It's very eco-friendly and there's a lot of electric cars in the eco village. And she drove in and she was a great saleswoman. And she was like, why are you looking at the base model? Like, I'd think living here, you're really eco-friendly. Why wouldn't you get the electric car?
We rent for first. I was, no, that's not how it works, lady. Like, we're looking at the base model.
And then I was like, well, funny you say that because I have actually felt a call to the electric. Tell me more about it. Okay, it's 20 grand more. I'm in.
I want to just stretch this out a little more. So it's $25,999 for the base model. And then it's like, well, that doesn't have heated seats. It's also, there's not leather seats. It also doesn't have the sunroof. So we looked at the next one up, which was around 30, I think it was like 32.
That's right.
$999. Yeah. And we'd reconciled, okay, well, you definitely need seat warmers.
Yeah.
You definitely need, like, you definitely need seat warmers. It also had a good, you know, it was, you know, good little car. Love it. And then that's when Wendy. She came out and she's like, she just hit you with the hard question. Why aren't you going for the electric? And you were like, why aren't I want the electric. And we started at $25,999 and we ended up at $44,999, which is a jump of almost $20,000. And it was so, like, it was just a yes. And even though in my like, let's be practical here and let's be sensible, there was a part of you that was honoring your deep desire for that, for what you actually wanted.
Yes.
And you weren't going to compromise on your deep desires, knowing full well that you had the capacity to stretch into that, as you know, you had the capacity to financially make that work. It wasn't like you were going and buying a Lambo.
Overextending myself. No.
Yeah, you weren't going and buying a $250,000 car. You were stretching yourself in a way that was still in the zone of courage, not the zone of chaos.
Yes. And that's like this investment as well. I have the website. I have the money for it. It was just a lot stretchier than I'd originally planned.
Correct.
But it's, again, it's like, oh, this is right. And it feels there's more sensation with this experience of investing that, but it feels right. And I think also something I want to note, because one thing and this has very much been my practice, potentially yours in the last year as well, and us as a couple, but I started earning money very quickly about 2 years ago compared to what I went from having a $40,000 year to like a $250,000 year. And like, that was like, what the fuck? And I'd never, you know, we had struggled and were in debt for years and years and years. And then suddenly I was like knowing how to make money. So suddenly there was lots of money and I wanted to spend all that fucking money.
Yeah.
And I got really, really good at that. I got good at making it. I got good at spending it. And I think there's been a depth of consciousness that's come into my life, my spending, my business, all of it in the last year, which has been really beautiful. All of those things that we just spoke about, they weren't unconscious, just throwing money out into life. They were very, like, all of them felt activating and really powerful. And I stand behind all of those investments, stand behind everything I've spent money on. But there's been a, maybe not that ridiculous place we stayed at for, Actually, I stand behind that, but that was kind of ridiculous, the amount I wanted to spend on that.
What, the one on the beach at Bingen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I would say that was unnecessary.
I think.
That was more, that was reckless. I think we made some reckless investments. Like, we went and slept on the reef at...
I wouldn't say that one wasn't reckless. I loved that.
Yeah, and I also feel like if we had to, like, go back and take a look at how we were spending our money...
Yeah.
And we looked at more of a long-term vision. We were definitely in a season of, woo!
Yeah.
Let's do this. And we got a helicopter to fucking that Whitehaven Beach or whatever. Like, and we...
I think after so long of, like, we were only reflecting on this the other day. Mm. We went and lived, or not lived, but we went to Bali for, like, a few months, probably 5 years ago now, almost 5 years ago. We had no money. I couldn't even go to a yoga class.
Mm.
We didn't have $15 to spare to go to a fucking yoga class. We had to, we had like $3 in our bank account at one stage, and my pay was supposed to come in from the network marketing company I was working for at the time. And then we realized it was fucking Easter and there was like 3 more days of public holidays until the money came. So,
do you remember that your sister or your mum like sent us $50? Do you remember asking for?
Yeah, we asked for money, but then it couldn't come through because of the bank accounts.
Do you remember what happened? Yeah, and then your MailChimp or something.
And my Spotify, of these, the money suddenly came in, but because we hadn't had money in there, all of my subscriptions came out. So we got my mum or dad to send us $50 so we could eat. And then suddenly $50 is gone. We went to get it out, the cash
out.
It
was gone. Yeah.
And we were like, why isn't this fucking working? The $50 was in my account. And then we looked and it wasn't.
Because MailChimp and Spotify
had taken out.
And that was a sad moment.
That was such a low point.
Yeah.
And I remember just yearning to have, I love that this conversation is about money now. Mm. I remember yearning to be able to have money to go to a yoga class or I used to look at events, even like I remember someone was holding a women's circle here on the coast and it was like $50. And I was just like, that's fucking ridiculous. I don't have $50 to spend on a women's circle. And then a few years later, I was investing tens of thousands of dollars in being in spaces like that. But yeah, it was really beautiful when we were at lunch the other day and we had Django and we were just like sitting there and I forget what we were reflecting on. I think you looked at me and you were like, we have a really beautiful life. Like, look what we've created. And I think it's so cliche, but it's so true that we can get so caught up in what is next and forget to stop and breathe into what is here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so cliche, but we can forget that we're actually living out what our past self deeply dreamt of.
Mm-hmm.
Like if that version of us in Bali saw the life we had created now, even that we have this podcast and the amount of people that listen to this podcast and
we're sitting in $600 or $700 chairs on the podcast. Like there was no part of me that ever thought we'd have the capacity to live at this like desired, like at this level of desire. Mm-hmm. Like I was always like, yeah, I never knew this was possible. And I'm not saying that we're in a position of like infinite abundance of like, we can quit our jobs and go and like do whatever we want. Like there's still a part of us that is actively engaged in growing our businesses.
Really,
and
there's still so much more we desire.
There's still so much more we desire, but yeah, to like, and that's what I think, like for so many people that may feel like they're on this never ending pursuit of the next thing is like, do you ever stop and just reflect back on the last year, 3 years, five years, 10 years and see where you've come from? I only realized the other day that it's been 15 years since I've been at high school.
Wow.
And I was just like reflecting on being 17 and 18. And I was thinking about how like at that age, my nan and pop had a child.
Mm.
At 18, they had a child. I was thinking far out. I've spent the last 15 years figuring shit out. Imagine if I had a child to look after in that. Imagine if I had like a level of responsibility that was beyond just my own self-development. I'm like, wow, this is huge. So I think, I think like the other day when I was sitting in the cafe, like this is a beautiful life. I think that comes from reflection and having those low moments, which are part of the journey.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that ability to reflect, and that's something else we've been talking about this a lot, or I've been really landing in this in my own work and life. And again, so fucking cliche, but the fact that like we're always, is he okay?
Yeah.
Django is just in the room with us, sleeping under Jacob's chair. The cliche piece of like, there's no destination, it's always a journey. And like, that's just really landed for me this year.
How cliche of you.
Like, but like so deeply landed, like just seeing the part of me, particularly in business, that always thought I was going to get to a place where it just suddenly got easy. Like it was all easy and there were no issues and there was almost this feeling of completion.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, that's not business. Business is a process. Like I'm constantly, you always remind me of this, like you're always going to be creating. There's not just like this apex point of being like, woohoo, it's done. Like there's going to be milestones along the way, but there's always going to be this element of I'm on the journey, I'm in process. And this year is for me has really been about like accepting that,
mm-hmm.
being like, oh, okay, can I rest into the journey? Can I rest into the feeling of this being a process, mm-hmm. instead of like gripping hold and holding my breath until I get to the finish line, realizing like, well, I'm always going to be fucking gripping and holding my breath because there's not an actual finish line in business.
Tantric business, baby.
Relax into it.
Relax into it.
Well, I always say how we fuck is how we do life.
Yeah.
And it's true.
It is.
A lot of us are holding our breath and gripping onto trying to get our orgasm out or mm-hmm. like forcing our orgasms out. And it's the same way we go after whatever we want in life.
Mm.
And if we actually learn to relax into our body, relax into the moment, enjoy the journey while we're fucking ourselves or another person or multiple people, you know, that really ripples out into life.
Uh-huh.
The way we fuck is the way we do life.
Came on. Mm. Is there anything else you want to share about business, my love?
No.
Or finances? Have you got any other finance tips for Meg's 10 finance tips?
No, we started seeing a financial advisor a few months ago.
I think the key thing
has been really powerful for us.
I think the journey is like, yeah, being willing to do whatever it takes to follow your you know, your passion, even if it means being broke as fuck in Bali, even if it means moving in with your partner's parents for fucking 4 months in Brisbane.
Yeah, we did that.
Even if it means like doing stuff that like doesn't make sense to anyone else. I know I spent fucking hours doing that fucking data entry, trying to get my plumbing app going for fucking days on end. And when we were living with your parents and I was like, this just feels like pure fucking madness.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was like, I don't know if this is actually healthy, but there was a part of me that wasn't willing to give up. And I think that like, that's where I learned a lot from you of this like resilience piece of like, I'm going to keep on going.
Mm.
I'm going to keep on going and I'm going to figure this out. And what then happened, you know, subsequently a few, you know, years later from that moment, took a few years, was I think like maybe 2 years, was we then got to the point where we're like, oh, now we know how to have money coming in. We've learned how to have money flow into us, into our bank accounts. But then this whole other arena of managing money was the new challenge. So we had money flowing in, right? Or you did, definitely before me, and then I figured it out eventually. But we then were like, wow, look at this.
What should we do?
What are we doing this weekend? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do that. And we were able to like circulate that money in a way that like brought us a really like rich, enriching lifestyle, but we hadn't learned how to actually like manage that money, even to the point where we did try to do some investing and we got going pretty well and we got, some money in the investment accounts, but then we're like, oh, we want to have a big fucking wedding. So we decided to have a big fucking wedding. And then that was where like we drained that investment back into like what we desired.
Mm.
And I don't have any regrets around that. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, this is cool because we're learning like, oh, money can come to us quite easily now. Or we know how to work with money in a way that allows us to receive deeply and be valued for our services.
Mm.
But can we actually like create a nervous system that's able to hold that money and then use that money accordingly to our longer term vision?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're getting there.
We are.
We had a meeting with a financial advisor.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. And we did.
Yeah, that's our next edge is is the management of money. And the creation of wealth, which I'm so excited about.
Yeah, bring it on.
I think the almost like golden piece I want to just reiterate to you beautiful humans listening is, yeah, that if you are on the journey of like creating something, especially in business, entrepreneurship, it's that like patience. Patience. Like I really like the podcast Diary of a CEO. I think I love listening to anyone who has had success and hearing their life story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love that. I love understanding how successful people, you know, came into success, no matter what kind of realm of life or realm their success is in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to Diary of a CEO and Seth Rogen was on and Stephen asked him like, what do you attribute to your success? And he just said, I never stopped.
Yeah.
Meaning like, you know, he was like, I'm not more creative than other people. I'm not, you know, anything else than other people. I just kept going. I didn't leave the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's such a like, yes, skill, yes, anything, like all of those things are necessary. But if you're staying in the fucking arena, you learn that over time.
Totally.
You sharpen the sword. You know, whatever the saying is.
Sharpen the sword.
But yeah, there's such an unsexy truth to that.
Yeah.
Like stay, hold, be patient. It'll come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the world we live in now, people are wanting like the 1-2-3-step formula to everything. And I think that's a real sexy way to like package up work. And we do that sometimes. But the truth is like for long lasting success, in whatever it is, it's patience.
Mm.
Patience.
I really love the way that we bring the word devotion into a lot of our work. And I do this a lot with men. I speak about the journey, but I speak about like, you have to practice devotion. You have to be devoted to the experience of moving toward.
Mm.
And that's just the fucking truth. Like there's no magic bullets, you know, the magic pill, the silver bullet, you can try them and they might, like you said, throw money at something to try and get more of what you want. Or maybe you think that this is the next thing that's going to change it, but then you still got to wake up the next day and, you know, figure out what you're going to do. You still got to, you know, in a month's time, there's going to be something else to do. In a year's time, there's going to be something else to do. In 10 years' time, there's going to be something else to do. So one of the things that, I really love about our approach is that we've created this like really, really deep understanding around sustainability when it comes to depth, whether that's in business or relationship or just our own personal practice. It's like, can we prioritize depth over speed? And can we know when it's time to actually like just do the work day in, day out, and when we're being called to be initiated into another level of capacity? So, you know, like you said, with your branding, you could sit there and day in, day out for the next 3 months, do the branding yourself. But the real fact is that you need to invest at a level that shows you that you're now stepping into a new level of maturity in your business. Yeah. Hey, I'm the kind of woman that has fucking bomb ass branding, wicked representation. And this is, hey, I'm here. Like here I am presenting to the world as this brand, this business, this service based fucking, woman who is so deeply, deeply devoted to her body of work that I'm no longer going to be doing the things that aren't my zone of genius. And that's a vulnerable place to be, but it's like the most beautiful part. Like for me, the initiation moments are what make for fucking awesome stories.
Do we want to go into what we're going to talk about, or do you just want to keep vibing with this?
I think we just keep vibing with this. This is a whole podcast. Yeah, I think this is a cool topic. Let's keep going. Do you want me to just kick it off?
Yeah, keep going.
I also
love everyone. It's like 9:30 at night, and we were just on an Ignite Your Intimacy call, which was so fucking epic. And
We're going to circle back to that. We're definitely still going to do the topic we originally were going to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I?
I just feel like this is more just casual. Let's jump on the mics and speak into whatever is alive.
Just spit a 16
spit truth.
Back. Yeah. What was I going to say? I've also learned so much around like pricing my work and understanding how to like create sustainability in my business around like, oh, I'm not like my next program isn't going to be the thing that retires me.
Oof. I think that is so true. I even got caught up in this energy thinking that, yeah, like putting all my expectations on the one launch. But again, like that's not business. And I think in the coaching industry, there is a sometimes such a tunnel vision or like short-term focus on, yeah, the next month or the next launch, where if we look at like big businesses, you know, that's not what they do. They're like long-term fucking vision, and they're willing to take some hits or take some risks in the short term in service to the longer vision. And yeah, I think that's so important. We do that as in our industry too.
100%.
So yeah, pricing not to be like, ah, this is going to be a 100K launch or yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And for me, I learned like, oh, like I charged, you know, 4K this time, now I'll charge 6K, then I'll charge 8K, then I'll charge 16K, then I'll charge 24K, and I'll charge more. It's like, oh, what's actually a healthy energetic exchange that I receive the money that I know I'm worth, and I'm excited as fuck to serve these people.
Oh, I so agree.
And I've been on both ends of the spectrum where I've overcharged, and then I felt like I've needed to give more because I felt guilty for taking so much money off from someone. Ironically, they were happy to invest that. They got a load of value out of it. It was only my own incongruence, my internal incongruence. So it's like externally everything was good, but internally there was something out. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, and then there's been other times where I've undercharged so fucking badly. And I'll share like my first like 12-month program that I ran was called the Mountain Brotherhood. And I fucking charged $1,100 for 12 months of coaching with me. And these guys got a monthly call, monthly group call, and a monthly one-on-one. So I was gave away like 24 calls for $1,100 to each person. And like, that was where I was at. But I also learned pretty quickly that, oh, to offer something over a 12-month period and then learn in that cycle was quite, it was a big learning curve for me at the start of my journey. And it's like, for to be able to like navigate my pricing now to a point where it's like, oh, this is what I'm worth. This is what I know will you will receive, you know, an epic amount of value. And I trust that if you can't afford that, then I don't need to change the pricing to suit you.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And the one last thing I'll say before I let you speak again, my love, is that like as you grow in business, you build out a healthy ecosystem of different products and different valuable resources that give people access to your work at different levels.
Yeah.
So I think like this podcast has been so much fun to like just jump on and just share so much of what we do and what we're about, and just be able to give it to everyone every week for free. Like it's like, here, have access to us.
It's been so fun to serve in this way so generously for free. Like majority of people I would say listening to this aren't in our work.
Yeah. You
know, they probably will step into our work, but it's not as if everyone is coaching with us or everyone is in Full Spectrum Woman or everyone listening is in Savage and Sacred. No, like a lot of this is us serving for free. And I think that's part of how business works, or at least the coaching industry works in that way. And this has been one of my favorite things about the last year, is creating this podcast and serving in such a generous, deep way and building community.
Definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. There's like, once again, that devotion to service has come back online more and more this year for both of us, I feel. And in that, we've created a more healthy, sustainable, robust business design individually, like for both of our businesses, where we're able to create products and services that actually like deliver value at different levels. Like, you want to work with us one-on-one, here's the price. If that's not for you, here's our group program. If that's not for you, here's a short course. Like, there's so many ways for you to access this work.
That's not for you, here's like 70 hours of podcast listening.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're not, it's beautiful to get to a point, and I think this is all part of the journey, to where, like, if someone says no to working with me, like I had it happen last Friday, I was sharing with a guy and he's like, man, I'm so excited to work with you one-on-one. I said, awesome, bro. Like, to work with me, it's $6,000 for 3 months. And he was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize it would be that much. I said, yeah, bro, that's my price. I do a payment plan. But if you can't afford that right now, bro, that's totally okay. That's totally okay. And I said, I offer different other things, and I'm going to send you an email with a few other things that I have on offer. And if they feel right, happy days. If not, and you want to, you know, wait 6 months and save up, and or you want to, like, you know, work a bit more and work out how you could make this happen, then, hey, I'm here. But I'm not going to force you into joining my program. Sign up to my class.
Sign up to my class.
And I think that's, like, that is such a – it's so nice not to need people in the role of coach. I know for me there was parts of my journey at the beginning where I was like, I need your transformation more than you do.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's why I'm such an advocate for people having a job whilst they start a business.
Yes.
I used to do a lot of business coaching, and I would always advocate for women to do that. Unless that was, some people thrive in, fuck, I'm going all the way the fuck in and I've got no backup plan. And to a certain degree, I've done that in different stages of my entrepreneur business journey. But also, I just think it can create such a neediness in business. And that's not fun to be in as the business owner. And that's not fun to be on the other end of.
Yeah.
And when you have, you know, an income servicing your needs, and your business there can be a purity to that. There's beauty in that. And I also think we all need to have our kind of like,
yeah,
everyone needs my work kind of moment.
Totally. And there's two things I want to say is, like, there's the concept of burning the boats. That's like a really,
I love that. One.
Yeah.
Do you want to share that story?
Yeah. So
I also feel like if anyone's watching the video, I'm flashing.
Flashing lights. The concept of, like, burning the boats is that there's these warriors and they're sailing to a distant shore, right? And the captain's leading them, and there's a fleet of these boats, and they pull up on this rocky shore with a big cliff. And it's this cliff, and it's got a beautiful big, just like, sloping hill. And over that hill, as they land, they jump off the boats, like, we're going to take over this land. We're going to conquer it. We're going to get what's ours, you know, go out and, you know, make their mark. And over the hill comes 10,000 warriors from this native to this land. And they stand on top of the hill. And in that time, before those warriors come down, find their way down the rocky cliff and meet them on the beaches, they are able to be put in a position where they have to make a choice. Do they hop on the boats and return home, or do they face up to these 10,000 warriors and fight? And mind you, there's 1,000 warriors that have just rocked up on the boat, so they're outnumbered 10-1. And option A, stay and fight and most likely die. Option B, hop on the boats, return home. And what the captain orders the men to do is to light a flame, light a torch, and burn every single one of the boats. So option B is not an option. And option A is all that they've got. So when they're fighting literally for their lives. They're not fighting, and if they start to lose, they can hop on the boats. They go all the fucking way in. And that, to me, is such a fucking audacious energy that when you do make those decisions and you're making them from an actual, I'm ready for this fucking initiation, not like, I need to be successful because I want people to see me as this. When you're like, I'm here to fucking serve, and that's all I'm going to fucking do. And I know when that comes online for me, like, I have a mantra. It's like, especially with TGOM this year, I was like, I'm running this motherfucker. I will go into debt. I will lose everything for this fucking retreat. I don't give a fuck. I'm going all in. Even if I'm the only person there, I'm going to do every single practice for the 4 days by myself and eat 400 fucking watermelons and all the shit that I bought. And when I just started speaking like that, I just couldn't stop fucking talking about it. I couldn't stop being about it. I couldn't stop walking with this sense of, like, I'm that motherfucker. Like, you can't fuck with me because I'm doing this regardless. And that level of sovereignty that comes online, and that level of, like, there's only one outcome here, this is happening, is fucking powerful. What sometimes happens, though, is people, and this is the issue with the burn the boats thing, is people will get within, say, 5 or 6 kilometers of the shore and they'll torch the boat and they're still out in the water.
I love that.
And then they're fucking trying to swim to shore. And when they get to shore, they're exhausted.
You're not there yet, bro.
So they're burning the boats before they actually get to shore. So quite often people, it's not about burning the boats being the right or wrong decision. It's like, when do I burn the boats?
Yeah.
And that's an important understanding that I believe a lot of, especially a lot of young entrepreneurial, like, wide-eyed people have to like realize is like sometimes you're going to burn the boats before you get to shore, and you're going to have to go through that realization of like, fuck,
humbling
too soon.
Yeah
So that's the thing. The other thing that I wanted to say, especially for people on this journey, how are we doing for time, my love?
Yeah, good.
Is what do I need to feel safe? What do I need for my nervous system to feel safe for me to serve unconditionally?
Ooh, say that again.
What do I need for my nervous system to feel safe in order to serve unconditionally?
Mm.
And that has been a massive, massive game changer for a lot of the guys that have worked with me that are looking to like step into leadership. It's like, if you are in an activated state and you're serving and you're like living in scarcity, there's going to be a part of you that needs your clients' money more than they need your services.
Mm.
And that dynamic creates a neediness. It creates an insecure, like this insecure attachment to that person.
Mm.
And energetically, they're going to feel that. You're going to feel that. And regardless of the outcomes they get, it's not going to stick because there's this, there's this imbalance. There's this incongruence.
Even the way you spoke about the client from last week when he was a no to working with you.
Mm.
There needs to be a level, or what do you need? What do you need so that you can meet those moments with a level of neutrality?
Totally.
Like, I'm the same. When a client comes to me and they, you know, they're interested in working with me, and then even if they're like, yeah, I'm so in, and then they ghost, it's just like, I'm so fucking neutral to that shit now. Because I'm like, there'll be someone else, or like, I don't. And that's also a privilege to get to that stage of business where I'm not relying on. Bless you. Where, yeah, I'm not relying on that, but also that this is what I was saying before. I really, when I used to do a lot of business coaching, I would be inviting my clients to, have, if they need a job, if they like anything, so that they can, you know, actually meet their clients with a level of neutrality.
Mm.
And that's of service to them, but that's more importantly in service to their client or future client.
100%.
I love that this has been like money chats, business chats.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to bring?
The other thing that I wanted to speak about was like the difference between like initiation investing and integration investing. And I think that's a really cool thing to speak about. Like,
ooh, tell me.
Like for you, like there's a part of, is he asleep?
Oh my God. He's like on his back with like one leg. Oh my God. It's too cute. Keep going. I just need a better look at him.
Yeah.
Guys, having a dog is the best thing ever. How have I never had a dog before?
Like for some people, like an initiation investment is the thing that is like, it's the burn the boats moment, right? It's the, I need to invest in a way that is going to activate me into going all in.
Yeah.
And that's an initiation investment, right? Like for me right now, I'm not in an initiation investment season.
Yeah.
But when I did invest in my business coach, I invested like more money than I ever have.
Mm.
And the same thing happened. Like I, you know, within three or four months, I'd had some of my biggest months ever in business just through the energetic alignment of like, I'm all in now. When I speak, people ask me what I do. I'm like, oh, I'm a full-time men's coach.
Mm.
Like I don't leave space for the uncertainty. I was like, oh, you're a men's coach. Like, do you do that part? No, I'm a full-time men's coach. And I would speak with such convictions. Like, this is what I do.
Mm.
And I became so much clearer in how I delivered what I do. It's like, I'm a men's leadership coach. I coach men to live freely, love deeply, and serve humbly so humanity can fucking thrive. And that became like really fucking clear once I started investing in, like once I had those initiation investments, which was fucking awesome. It was such a beautiful experience to go through that firsthand after seeing you go through it, my love.
Mm.
And then the integration investments. So how am I actually maintaining a place in the arena?
Mm.
How am I actually stepping into the arena regularly and keeping myself fine-tuned to the frequency of expansion and growth?
Mm.
And that for me has been a lot of my ceremony work, like religiously, like going to ceremony, like staying connected to Sweat Lodge, staying connected to, I'm currently in a low ticket mastermind where I get to like be a part of a community and I get to go on like weekly calls and jam on different topics and just being a part of like a group where I can speak into what I'm creating and just be seen and moving with other people that are operating at the level I am feels like I'm still in the arena. I'm not initiating myself and then just going back into what I was doing before.
Yeah.
And this for me is super important for people to understand. It's like, yeah, if you're continually like stretching yourself in those initiation investments, there is a point where you will have to integrate.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think it's also, I've witnessed this. I don't think, I probably had one investment like this where I invested and I realized, oh fuck, I was just investing in that because I thought that was going to make me lots of money.
Yeah.
And that was just almost like a caffeinated investment. Mm. Like a really like, oh my God, I feel like, you know, full of caffeine. I'm like a bit, you know, high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make that investment without actually it being embodied. And I've seen and witnessed the effects of this in the industry where people are, especially women in business, are just, again, like throwing money out there, thinking that, oh, that's what I do. You just throw money at a coach and they make you lots of money. And it's like, no, don't invest in something that isn't true for you. Don't invest in something that doesn't feel also that you can't fucking get behind and you can't own. If you were to get nothing out of that experience, can you still sit behind that investment? Can you still, and nothing meaning like if you weren't to make money out of that, can you still stand behind that investment? And I think there were a lot of people investing money that couldn't, and they were just doing it from this coach makes lots of money. If I give money to them, they'll be able to make me lots of money. That's not how it fucking works at all.
No.
And there has to be such a depth of ownership in every investment I've made. And yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's just changing in the industry. I think it was a lot in the women's coaching space. I'm not really in the men's coaching space, but I've seen the energetics really shift and people are way more discerning. There, I'm not seeing this like you said before, it's like 6K, 10K, 20K, 30K, 40K, 50K. Like it's less caffeinated. There's a groundedness to the industry that probably wasn't there a year ago. And even for me, I've felt that like, yeah, I'm focused so much more on sustainability. I'm not, you know, I put down my prices probably a year ago, and that feels really good for me. I'm focusing more on sustainability than like how much can I fucking charge. That's not, I'm wanting to, like, accessibility is really important to me.
Mm.
Accessibility, having my work, you know, obviously not everyone can work one-on-one with me, so that's at a certain price point. But for me, even that's the reason why I shifted Full Spectrum Woman. That used to be a high-end program and women would pay thousands and thousands of dollars to be in that space with me for 3 months. I was like, I want more fucking women in this work. That's what I was really called to. And now women pay a few hundred dollars a month to be a part of that. And there's still equal amounts of value, if not more, in terms of what they're receiving. So yeah, I think that's what shifted for me around that.
Yeah. I love that. And like, yeah, like what I hear in like both of our words right now is like, we're shifting from how can I have my biggest quarter or my biggest month to how can I create something that's like long lasting? How can I build quality products and services that allow people to really deeply receive from our work and have access to our work at varying levels so people can have the experience that they're desiring to have? And even after just getting off Ignite Your Intimacy, and we ran that at like a really affordable price over that 4 weeks, delivered loads of value.
Yeah.
And just seeing the, you know, some of the guys on that were just having some absolute, like massive, like moments in their relationships that were just leading to like the most epic fucking like sex and love and intimacy. And I was just like, man, fuck it. Like, I love this shit. I love serving people. I love sharing this information and I love being a stand for it. And part of that is like seeing this as a lifelong journey for us. Like, I'm not here to be a coach for the next fucking 3 months. I'm here to be a coach for the rest of my life. And I'm a big advocate for owning that fucking label. So many people that I've spoken to and a lot of guys, definitely they're like, oh, like coaches are fucked or coaching's just, you know, that's just, like, I don't resonate with that word. I'm like, if you don't resonate with that word, yet you're trying to do everything that a coach does, you're not willing to fucking take the arrows. You're not willing to stand up and like deliver quality and set a standard for not only yourself, but the industry. And that for me, you know, I'm very clear on, you know, I set, you know, my container at 3 months to work with me one-on-one, but just, you know, I just had a guy call me today to tell me about the breakthrough that he had, you know, 2 weeks after we finished. I thought, I was like, I'm going to answer this because this is going to be good. He's like, hey, I had to ring and tell you about, you know, the result. He's like, it's all landing. I'm just like, you know, I want to be the guy that can answer a call like that, have a 10-minute chat with a client, the previous client, close it down and be like, cool. Stoked for you, bro, and be able to like receive that feedback and like take that with me and use that as fuel rather than being this harsh, like, these are my boundaries, this is how I offer. And it's like, no, I'm a fucking human. And I'm here to relate with people, obviously, you know, not just to give my time and energy away, but to understand that like we fucking do the work and we finish when the work is done. You know, I'm not going to leave you hanging. I'm not going to leave you half baked. That's not a healthy, I don't believe that's a healthy way to lead with integrity, especially in this coaching arena. Sorry, I just had to get a little bit pumped up about that.
I love that.
And two, there was other things I was going to say around like the, you know, how you said like with the women and like that almost like they're caffeinated investing. I feel that like men have always like, for men, it's a massive self-worth journey for them to get, you know, I know a lot of personal development is predominantly like a lot of women do it. You know, I've spoken to other people that run co-gender stuff and they have 80 to 90% women. And for me, like I'm focusing just on men. So I know how big like an investment can be in self. So for me, like it's like, how do I actually build my business to meet the market or to meet the men where they're at whilst not diminishing my value? And that's been a really powerful journey for me over the last 12 months. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, my love, around finances or business or
the coaching industry? No, this was a fun, spontaneous, unexpected direction. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you came for the relationship chats, this episode probably wasn't for you. But I also know that so many of, those of you that are here in this community are entrepreneurs, are coaches, are business owners, are, you know, taking an unconventional path. So I'm sure there was a lot of gold in this episode. So let us know if you'd like us to deepen into these kind of conversations more regularly as well. Because, you know, the podcast is called Sex, Love, and Everything in Between.
It is. I've had
a little feedback, like, where's the everything in between?
I love the everything in between. I'm here for a bit more everything in between. I want to talk about the plants. I want to talk about dogs. All about the dog.
How we're training our dog.
Our
dog looks so cute right now, guys. He looks so adorable. He's upside down. He's just, having a dog is so beautiful because they just follow you everywhere.
That's been another part of the contentment too. Like just like feeling that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like I don't like being called mummy and daddy of the dog. I don't like people knowing that I like to be that. I like that. But it's made of this. It's really felt like family. It's felt like this family energy. It's like, oh, like
when I left today and I drove away and I was already feeling emotional. And you said, I wound my window down and you were yelling, "We love you," as you were holding our puppy, and I bawled. I was like, there's a we now.
it feels really special. Yeah, and that's like got me so excited for parenthood with you, my love.
Me too.
Amazing. So
thanks for listening, beautiful humans. We will see you next week.
Yeah.
I think we're doing a 2023 recap next week.
We're going to do a 2023 recap. Bring it on.
And then I actually have some, I have a guest coming.
Oh, yeah, you do.
This week to record a podcast. It's going to be so fucking fun. So in a few weeks' time, potentially even next week, there's going to be a very saucy episode. So what was that?
That was sauciness.
Okay, thanks for being here, beautiful ones. We love you. And yeah, we really appreciate you listening and you supporting us and you being a part of this journey.
Filled with gratitude right now.
We
have a beautiful life. We are so lucky.
We do. Mm. And thanks for being a part of it, beautiful humans.
We appreciate you.
We really, really, really fucking appreciate you. And if you do love the podcast, it means the world to us and is deeply supportive in having the podcast get into more people's ears for you to subscribe and also review the podcast. So you can do that on Apple. Go to the Apple app, find Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Give it 5 stars, write some cool shit.
Hell yeah.
That just really helps the podcast, be seen by more humans and to have these conversations in the ears of more humans that are devoted to epic sets.
Epic sets of sex.
Yeah. That. Can you tell it's nearly 10 p.m.?
It's nearly 10 p.m. We've got to get off this bright light.
You guys got what I was saying. Mm. Okay, we'll see you next week. We love you.
Bless up, bless up. Bye. Big love.
Yo, yo, yo. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sex, Love, and Everything in Between. Now, if you'd like to stay connected with Meg and I, you can head on over to Instagram and follow me at @TheJacobO'Neill. And where can people find you, lover?
At @B.Meg.O.
Amazing. And yeah, guys, check out the show notes for all other information in regards to what we've got coming up. And yeah, we're super, super grateful that you guys have taken the time to listen in to this podcast. If you do have any topics or any questions, like I said, hit us up on Instagram and we'll see what we can do. Apart from that, have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day.
Thanks for being here.
Big, big love.